to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. I got a bunch of texts to get to. We'll try to find some time to do that sometime between now and the when the cowboy rides away. But anyway, enough of that. Joining us on the line now, it is Friday. Always a pleasure to bring on our returning champion. He comes from Daphne, State Senator Chris Elliott on the line with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Tell us, Montgomery, is it as great as I recall?
It is at least cooler and pleasant today, but yes, it's pretty good today. I'm still up here trying to go over ARPA funds and state transportation improvement plan updates and things of that nature. Most everybody's left to head back to their district, which I'll do later this afternoon. But there is a lot of going on and a bunch of money that's fixing to be spent.
As it usually goes when the legislature's in session about spending money, but a necessary thing, I suppose. Let's start with the ARPA stuff. Kick it off here. Special session, you think? Is that how this is going to have to be resolved?
That seems to be the general consensus right now, is that a special session will focus the House and Senate on the ARPA fund specifically, and not get other sideline arguments in the way while we try to dispense with what looks like about $780 million over the next couple of weeks, and then spend the rest of this month getting those pieces of legislation in position to appropriate that money, and then to provide the oversight necessary for that money, get that done, and then get really geared back up in a regular session or get back into regular session beginning of next month.
Well, it sounds to me, whenever I talk to you guys about this ARPA stuff, that it is, it's infrastructure, be it broadband or maybe some water and sewer or whatever. But do you anticipate it being that contentious?
No, I don't. I think there will be a little, some skirmishes along the edges, if you will, the periphery of this, but probably not all that contentious. Quite honestly, Jeff, the federal government has limited where these funds can be spent in the legislation. That's frustrating to a good fiscal conservative like me that sees real needs out there that I would put higher than where the federal government has assigned their hierarchy of needs. But we're told where to spend this money. Now the question is, how much do we spend in those particular areas, and do we spend any in one particular area or not? And you correctly ascertained that we're going to be spending this money really backstopping nursing homes and hospitals that have really worked very hard during the pandemic and have expended a great amount of capital on keeping nurses there, using traveling nurses and whatever they can find to keep staffing up. We're going to be spending it on broadband, which I think is a good thing for the state, as long as it's spent wisely, and that's another conversation about oversight and the devil being in the details. You will see a really large sum of money spent on water and sewer infrastructure, probably north of $200 million statewide spent on that. And then, really shoring up the unemployment trust fund. That's so we don't see huge increases in business taxes into the unemployment trust fund. As you know, many folks applied for unemployment during the pandemic, and that really drained the trust fund. So we'll be filling that back up as well. So you'll see that, and then additional health care monies and things of that nature. So that's likely where this money will be going over the next couple of weeks. It's just figuring out how much and to what area.
Senator, we had your colleague Dan Roberts on earlier in the program. There are some tax credits that could be taxed by the state. Do you anticipate that being resolved in this special session?
I absolutely do. Senator Roberts and I worked on previous legislation like that, and he was first to the gate on this one, and I'm glad to know my colleague's looking out for the taxpayers of the state of Alabama, and I think that's a good piece of legislation, one I'll be very supportive of. And it's one we need to get on, right, before people start filing their taxes. So hopefully we can get that handled as soon as we get out of this special session. It'll be a priority for me, and it'll be a priority to support Senator Roberts in that legislation.
You think it's going to be handled in the special session or beyond the special session?
I think likely after. That's not my call. That's up to the governor as to whether or not she decides to put it in the call. She certainly could. I don't think it would be controversial, but whether she does or not, I frankly do not know. Either way, I do anticipate it's something we get handled quickly.
Let's talk about the regular session. Typically in these fourth year of a quadrenniums where it's budgets, there's not much beyond that. Maybe some things here and there, but this is it feels a little bit different, and primarily this whole debate about the whole constitutional permitless carry, throwing red meat to the base, a lot of people think, but it looks like it is it could happen, at least in the House. Last time we talked, I think you weren't so sure about it in the Senate or when it may come up, but things like that going to be kind of what we're looking at this year?
I think that's a number of things that certainly the House is going to be focused on. We've worked on that legislation in the Senate before. That was something that came up in a committee that I was in my first year in the legislature. Was a bill by Senator Allen that dealt with constitutional carry. And I remember it well because it got reassigned from committee to committee, and
right.
We heard it, and I voted in favor of it in the Tourism Committee.
Well, that finally. He was the chair of the Tourism Committee,
Senator Allen wasn't. Senator Marsh is chair of tourism, but he was able to get Senator Marsh to get it up and get it a hearing, and it did not make it out of committee, but at least it was brought up and put on the agenda. But and with my vote, I'll say that. But it's one of those things that'll come up again, and I do expect movement on it. The question is going to be: is there a middle ground of any for the law enforcement folks that seem to be adamantly opposed to the bill, and whether or not the legislature is interested in finding that middle ground or is just interested in passing it. I'm not sure how that's going to work. We'll have to see.
Literacy Act, the pause, you feel like it's happening?
It is. With the support of the bill's sponsor, Representative Collins, and the governor both saying that a year delay is reasonable, I think that's all but a done deal. It is my intention to make sure that's contingent upon passing what Senator Orr is proposing. It does a similar thing with math in the fifth grade. I mean, look, as much as I love our educators and I am a proud parent of public school children, if you look at the scores statewide, we are not performing. And that's not our teachers not performing. That's not our school districts not performing. That's our kids not performing. And it is incumbent upon leadership in the executive branch, at the State Board of Education, in our local schools, and especially with parents at home, to do something about this. And the legislature is keen on giving those entities the tools they need and, frankly, the requirements they need to apply the pressure to make sure that kids are at least performing at grade level. The current situation is untenable and is unacceptable.
And then there's also some discussion about a math version of this from Senator Orr and some others, but y'all are looking at doing something with math to try to bolster those efforts.
We are indeed, and I'm very supportive of that effort. As a matter of fact, I'm of the opinion that we ought to make the one-year delay in the Literacy Act contingent upon the passage of the math version to ensure that is something that gets done. And then I think, you continue to hear conversations about, parent choice legislation in school districts where there just are very few options and school systems are failing very, very, very miserably. And those scores are out there for people to see. It's something we've talked about for a very long time, but it has gotten so bad that we have got to do something.
Well, we're going to find some inconvenient realities, right? Where the problems are in our school systems, and remedies, and it may result in the embarrassment of some school systems or some teachers or things of that nature. What is the next step if we have all of a sudden this glut of third graders that can't get out of third grade because they're just not able to get to that fourth grade reading level?
Well, listen, embarrassment happens in life, and I'm sorry, but that ought not to be a reason to cover up our lack of ability. We are failing our children, and when I say we, I mean everything from the family unit at home you know, to the education system and to lawmakers and the executive branch. We are not doing the job that needs to be done. And at the end of the day, there is an individual child at the end of each one of these issues. And while I am concerned about the collective school system or the individual school, I am most concerned about that individual child and their God-given ability to succeed, and making sure that we have them live up to their ability. Look, we can put all the four-lane roads in we want to across the state, and we can put all the fiber and broadband in all over the state. If our kids can't read, if our kids can't do math at grade level, they're not going to succeed in life. And that needs to be a bigger focus of this legislature, of this government, and of our families across the state of Alabama.
Well, I tell you, it occurs to me, though, that it's sort of a chicken-egg problem, right, that there's a culture problem there. And the best way maybe to buoy the culture to get parents more involved in their kids is to improve their economic standing, get them better opportunities, and improve the workforce. But how do you do that with a lackluster workforce, poorly educated in some instances, that you need that education system to do so, that there's not necessarily just a government one-size-fits-all solution to this, that there's got it's a little bit of both, right?
It definitely is. But if you look at unemployment rates, if you look at the industry that has come to Alabama, our issue now is not, from an industry standpoint, is not infrastructure. It's not mega sites on which to locate. It's you know, it's not ingress and egress by rail or water or roads. And in a lot of instances, not all, but a lot of instances, it's not internet connectivity. It's workers. It is competent, capable people who can do the advanced manufacturing jobs that we are recruiting right now. I would submit to you that we are recruiting industry right now, or at least attempting to, that we are struggling to find the workers for, and that is where the bottleneck is. And we need to better prepare our kids for the workforce, and that is starting early in elementary school. And that is making sure that we are on track early in elementary school. And we've simply got to do better. Yes, it's a family problem. Yes, it's a culture problem. But we've got to do it. And I'm not prepared to say, hey, should we just wait until families, pick up the slack and do this? They're not. They haven't been for decades upon decades. That's how we've gotten in this problem. And I'm going to do what I can in the seat I occupy to help move the needle on that. We just have to.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott for just a few more minutes. Everybody keeps bringing up gambling, and you kind of said where I am on the gambling getting done. You have a better chance of probably winning the lottery itself than gambling has in this legislative session, but it doesn't mean it's going to stop the Senate from kind of going through the motions, it seems. Is that fair?
I think it is. I think you'll see the Alabama Senate take the measure up again. I think it will look substantially similar to what has been passed in years before. I just don't feel the appetite in the House to take it up. I wish that they would. I think while what we passed in the Senate, in my mind, was imperfect and probably one of the most imperfect pieces of legislation I voted in favor of, I do think that the people of the state of Alabama deserve the opportunity to vote on this. And and if they don't like the plan, I'm with them. I'm not a great fan of it either. But we have gaming in Alabama right now. We have gambling in Alabama right now, and the measure will attempt to get some control over what we have going on right now, and it will give the people of Alabama the opportunity to vote one way or the other on this.
I mean, it's such a complicated thing that people will just give the people the right to vote on an up or down vote on a lottery, but you can't get there. You can't get there under the politics right now that, yeah, you have interest and they are able to get their guys in place. They are elected overwhelmingly in their districts, Democrats, and you have others that just are going to be against gambling or any kind of gaming no matter what. You got to overcome that, and there's such a high threshold to get something on the ballot for a constitutional amendment that it's just not as simple as saying just give the people the right to vote, because everybody's kind of got their own turf to protect.
you've laid it out well. All of those are hurdles, and by the time you get through making it over all of those hurdles, I think what you'll end up seeing on the ballot once this is successful is something that people are going to look at and say, what kind of fruitcake is this? I wanted something simple, and it simply won't be something simple. And there's likely to be something in there that the individual voter looks at and doesn't care for very much. That's a lot like what each one of my days looks like, right? And then you have to make the decision, am I going to vote in favor of this or not, because there's some stuff in it that I don't like, but that was necessary in order to get to that threshold to get it on the ballot. And that is what will happen when this finally gets passed.
Hey, Senator, we're up against a break, but you're always very kind to come on, and stay safe up there in Montgomery and have a safe trip back down south.
We'll do it. Hopefully next week I'll have a good update for you on ARPA money and where it's all going.
Yeah, it's always interesting when we go special session within a session. State Senator Chris Elliott, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a quick break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5.
When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
To the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for sticking with us. We do appreciate it. 251-343-0106. If you would like to respond, well, I guess we're kind of running out of time for that. Let's get to a couple of texts here before we got to go. Good morning, Jeff. I know. Good morning, Don. I know this is a sore subject with you, but I heard something I wasn't aware of. The government owns Amtrak. Well, that's not true. Do you think the Biden administration is in support of this Mobile to Louisiana deliberately be putting pressure on the Railroad Authority here to make our supply chains and distribution of goods more difficult to slow down? No, I don't think so. That it would slow down the supply chain for sure, but I don't think it's some nefarious plot from the Biden administration. I'll see another one here. Joe, I didn't have much interest in Katie Britt, but like I said before, whoever Club for Growth goes against will be someone I will look into and support. Tyler writes, I'm 25 and leaning toward Durant or Brooks, and I will be voting. And let's get one more here. Tim, discipline problems. A kid can't learn if he can't be made to sit down. So it's the discipline, but there's a bigger cultural problem. I think discipline is just a symptom of it. So I don't know that, you know, Tim James talked about getting discipline back in schools. Is that really the role of the state to be talking about a discipline code in a school or in a school system? Anyway, enough of that. Coming up Monday, we got Dale Jackson, probably some others to be named later. As always, twitter.com/Jeff_Poor, the 8 o'clock hour, if you want to know who's coming up on the program. But don't go anywhere. Stay right where you are. Midday Mobile is next. Sean Sullivan, what you got for him today?
A lot to do. Coming up in hour number two, we'll talk more about the municipal redistricting plan that was rolled out this week. Dale Leach from Land App will join me, talk more about that and kind of how the districts have changed. You see the geographical footprint of them, and also this discussion of, you know, back to how many black folks, how many white folks, and we'll get into that coming up at 1 o'clock today on the show. Also, yeah, take a look at Montgomery, just like you have been, and Washington as well on my list. I tell you what, would you be able to stick around for a couple minutes? Because I've got some questions here on a couple different items. Number one, the filibuster thing that's being discussed, and you can say that Manchin is being consistent. You could say Sinema is being consistent. Schumer is not being consistent. Biden's not being. You run the speech. What was it the other day? Somebody read a. Who was it? It was Jim Jordan or somebody read a speech in Congress, and it ended up about not doing away with the filibuster.
Oh, Tom Cotton. He read Schumer's words from like 10 years ago or something. Yeah.
Right. And that's not. Okay. So, and that's why I wanted you to hang around and get into this, because people change opinions on things.
Yes.
But those are usually items that are, there's new information, there's new understandings. The filibuster is not one of those, right? What was the old Obama quote? Well, I've evolved on this when it came to gay marriage or whatever. You don't evolve on the filibuster, do you? So you were lying then or you're lying now?
You could evolve, but it's convenient to evolve, right?
Right, but what new information has come out, right? that would change an opinion on the filibuster.
Was the filibuster being used as it is today, was it intended to be used this way when they first launched it?
Well, 10 years ago, though, was it any different than it is 20 today?
20 years ago, 30 years ago. Let's just kind of go back through history and look at it, and then maybe. I don't know. Is it being used more today than it's ever been? Yes. But
was it a symptom of? Well, you'll hang out for a second. I want to run through that and a couple other items.
Guys, I got to get out of here. Well, I won't be out of here. I'll be hanging out in here. But I got to make room for the real host here, Sean Sullivan. Anyway, I will try to do better again on Monday. Sorry, Phyllis, forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.